Oh my goodness. It's just such a pleasure to be back here again with you. I've been deeply retired for quite a few years now. Deeply meaning deeply. But when Lewis called, I couldn't say no right away. And as I prayed about it, I knew I needed to come back here. And it was just a joy. So here we go. My sermon's about remembering. It's not nostalgic, I hope. I remember years ago when I was pastor here, there was a group that met every other Wednesday morning. They called themselves the Crafty Ladies, and I see a number of crafty ladies here, actually. As retired wise women, having lived long, full lives, they always said there wasn't a single thing in this world that they hadn't dealt with, seen, or dealt with. They made crafts, which they sold at the annual Christmas bazaar. And don't think this just was a group sitting off in the corner on Wednesdays out in Novato, making little knickknacks. Oh no, they were a strong moral force in this church. Millie Bransford was their chief organizer, the one who thought up all the different projects and at whose home they met. The group usually worked for a couple of hours, and then they broke to have lunch. Whenever I could, I used to love to join them. One summer, after I'd been away a couple of weeks on vacation, I attended a meeting of the Crafty Ladies. They took me right in. I could sit at the table with them and glue the popsicle sticks and pipe cleaners as well as they could. During a break in the conversation, I casually asked the group, "So what's happened while I've been gone?" And suddenly, a deep silence spread in the room. It was as though everybody took a breath in at the same time. Then Millie quietly raised her head and softly spoke with great love to me, saying, "Julianne, we don't gossip." I was taken aback because I was not asking, and I would not ask, for anybody's personal information that was inappropriate to share. Yet I realized I had somehow inadvertently stepped over a line, and I was duly set straight. None of them knew, none of you know, that I had previously served a church that had fired all of their ministers except one because of discontent fueled and inflamed by parking lot gossip. No, I would never ask for gossip. Never. Here at FCCSR, I had felt safe, and after that, I felt even safer. Knowing an important way this beloved church remembered who it was. We are, all of us, story people as humans. The human mind remembers stories and images and symbols much better than just facts. We tell stories to remember family members who've passed on. We tell stories to remember who we were when we were younger. We tell stories to remember heroic deeds. We tell stories about our church. We are admonished to remember our history, lest we repeat it. We remember God's love, goodness, and faithfulness through the stories we choose to tell. All religious traditions teach by telling stories. Our Bible is chock full. Where did the Bible go? The Bible is chock full of stories. And these stories were passed on through countless generations before they were even written down. We share the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, with our spiritual ancestors, the Jewish people. And they remember every year the story of Moses leading the Israelites out of slavery at their Passover Seders. We remember the same story of Moses leading the Israelites out of slavery because Martin Luther King especially used that scripture. The I Have a Dream speech comes to mind about the promised land. I remember Moses' story of an encounter with the burning bush. I was always interested in it because we were in the Sinai and saw the very burning bush. In fact, it was one of the scriptures I used at my ordination because it tied together my love of God and my love of the natural world. Think of your own favorite Old Testament Bible story, David and Goliath, maybe Jonah and the whale. If you're tough, Job. You will find in that story something. The story is teaching you something about God. As Christians, we remember the stories of Jesus in the New Testament. We puzzle over Jesus' miracles even as we wonder about the very miracle of life and love. We hear the parables of Jesus and we're shocked time and time again by the way he's showing us that his way is not the way of the world. We learn about Jesus through story. I know, I can hear Bob Spofford particularly telling me, the Bible is full of contradictory stories, you know. Times have really changed since the Bible was written. That's sure, there was no email and cell phone in those days. You know, anybody can support any position at all. Justify it by cherry-picking Bible verses. I know. But still, the Bible is full of truth about human nature and about God. And I don't think either have changed very much in all the centuries since it was written down. Looking at this little church's history through the lens of Bible stories, we see the love and faithfulness of God through the years, lived out again and again and again, right here in your midst. Mary Hargraves, a former member, some of you remember, and a strong advocate for social justice, told me her favorite Bible verse, and yes, indeed, that's how I remember people, by their favorite Bible verses. Her favorite Bible verse was from Matthew chapter 25. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. In 1969, this congregation voted to work with HUD financing to build a 61-unit low-income housing project on the 3 acres of extra unused land over there. It was the first such low-income housing in San Rafael, and Pilgrim Park remains a showcase community. In the early 2000s, you built a community center to give the residents a place to gather. And the church uses it for movie nights. I remember the yearly picnics with the Pilgrim Park people. It always reminded me of a UN gathering because there were people from so many different countries, happily all living together. This remains one of the church's proudest accomplishments. In 2000, EDFK began after a group from this church went on a mission trip to Cuernavaca, Mexico. There, the Sisters of Guadalupe took the group to meet the poor and to learn about the effects of poverty on the lives of people in Cuernavaca. The group saw children on the street of the street sellers running around hungry. And Alan Miller said, We had to do something. Every year since, EDFK has raised over $50,000 to send to the Cuernavaca organization it established to feed and educate the children. The church has found joy and purpose in the service of others, just like Jesus said you would. We remember the love this church has for its own children, too. And what a joy to see so many children. My goodness, there were as many children as in the big Berkeley church I attend. In all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Synoptic Gospels, Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is such as these that the kingdom of God belongs." This church has always faithfully loved, cared for, welcomed, and taught children. I remember in the years I was here, Kathy, Milagro, and Carol, faithfully here, each in a separate room, the three different Sunday school rooms, always preparing, even when there weren't many children in those days. I know Pastor Tracy had a deep, abiding love of children, too, just as all of you do. Most of all, I remember the warmth, tenderness, and joy, and the love given to children by everyone in this congregation. We remember this community is faithful in prayer. Each week, the church is invited to pray for different members of the congregation. And I know the prayer chain is still going strong. This community knows a deep, rich prayer life undergirds and supports strong social justice ministry. And last but not least, we remember Jesus in our sacraments. In my mind, I remember the sanctuary as it was when I was here, with the Bible on the pulpit. Symbolizing the Bible, symbolizing, I should get it. Could you bring that up here? We'll put it right here. The old Bible. The old Bible, full of stories of God's ways in the world. And the baptismal font that I remember over here, symbolizing the baptism. Here's the plug. I remember it was plugged in. You can imagine, will you, the beautiful baptismal font with the handmade pottery bowl here, symbolizing baptism as one of the ways we know Jesus. Now, most people, I know when I used to baptize children particularly, I always invited all the children to look around. And when I used to pray over the water, I can remember the children tiptoeing up and peeking in the water to see God, if God was actually in that water. What did God look like? They should have looked in their own faces, but I remember that. I used to tell people always, remember your baptism. And for most of us were baptized as children or infants, and so I know I have absolutely no memory of my baptism. I used to quiz my mother, and she would brush it off because she probably didn't remember much either. But I do remember the love that was surrounding the children that we baptize, and the adults, of course, too. And that love is what I mean for people to remember, the love of God and the love of community poured upon you. When you can't remember your baptism, next time it rains, just go out into the rain and put your face up and open your heart and think of God showering down baptismal water upon you, baptizing you with all of the love in the universe coming upon you. Think of that, and you will be changed. And lastly, we have the communion table. Each month, we remember communion. Today is World Communion Sunday, which means over the whole world, in Ethiopia, in China, faraway places, in South Africa, in Europe, in South America, all around the world, Protestants at least, are, I think Catholics too, are celebrating World Communion Sunday. It unites us to be remembering Jesus through the bread, broken bread. Each time we taste this consecrated holy bread, we remember Jesus and we open ourselves to his very presence. One of the gifts of church community is the many ways we're reminded of God and God's loving presence. But remembering requires self-awareness and remembering whose we really are. Matthew Laney, in last Friday's UCC Daily Devotional, perhaps some of you get it on the email, reminded us what a rabbi said about Moses and the burning bush. It's not that Moses encountered one burning bush, he said. All bushes are literally burning with the fires of life. And Moses had the eyes to see that. All life is holy. We are infused with the Spirit of God, and we need to pay close attention to our lives to notice where God is in our lives. I used to love to write about where I saw the presence of God each week and share that with you. In our deeply, extraordinarily divisive times, it's easy to fall into an us and them mentality and judge those who differ from us as the dreaded other. But we must look deeper because God truly loves all of us. All of us. We need to have courage to trust God is still speaking in these hard times. Listen to stories from the Bible. Taste the communion bread. Remember your own baptism, and you'll remember God's love. Most of all, look around. Look around and see life of God shining in all those around you right here. Remember, everything you really ever needed is right here. Love, acceptance, forgiveness, new life. It's all here, and it's freely given. Thanks be to God.